The heartbroken lover making peace with himself, taking the bad old songs and bitter memories and burying them forever. The end of Robert Schumann's song cycle, Dichterliebe, A Poet's Love. 16 settings of poems by Heinrich Heine, performed for us live here at London's Wigmore Hall by baritone Benjamin Apple and pianist James Baillieu. And Benjamin and James have recorded an album of Heine's songs, including Dichterliebe, which was released back in 2016. So you know what to do if you've enjoyed this lunchtime celebration of Heine's poetry and the composers who found the music in his words. Well, in next week's Wigmore Lunchtime Concert, oboist Olivier Stankiewicz and pianist Alistair Beetson bring us more music by Robert Schumann, as well as Bach and Mozart. I'll be here to introduce it. I hope you'll join us.
And tomorrow's live lunchtime concert from the Wigmore Hall is at the same time, just after the 1 o'clock news, here on BBC Radio 3.
Essential Classics isn't just about the best loved works. We are always on the hunt for new and forgotten musical gems.
That feeling of discovery when you hear a piece of music for the first time, you just lean into it. That sort of intent listening of, oh, this is exciting, this is new, this is something I have never heard before.
We're keen to have your help, though. Every day, our listeners get in touch with their favourites and their discoveries. Essential Classics with Susie Klein and me, Georgia Mann.
Every weekday morning from 9 till noon on Radio 3 and BBC Sounds.
This Sunday afternoon on BBC Radio 3, it's just after 2 o'clock. Time for this week's Early Music Show with Lucy Skeeping.
The opening sinfonia from Francesca Caccini's opera The Liberation of Ruggiero from the Island of Alcina. It was first performed in Florence in 1625, and it's just about the first opera we know of to be written by a woman. In fact, Francesca was the highest paid musician at the Medici court, the songbird, her fans called her. But it's the story of the opera I'm looking at today, and over the next hour we'll be hearing examples of how it was set by a variety of different composers. Caccini's libretto was based on the epic poem Orlando Furioso, written in the early 1500s by Ludovico Ariosto, a hugely influential Italian poet. It's a kind of chivalric romance, very much in the tradition of the Middle Ages, and the action takes place against the background of the war between Charlemagne's Christian paladins and the invading Saracen army. But of course, a creative Renaissance mind like Ariosto's wasn't going to be too bothered when it came to the actual facts, and the poem's Game of Thrones-sized cast features not only soldiers, but sorcerers, a giant sea monster called Orc, and a flying horse, obviously. Now, we'd probably be here all night if I tried to go into every one of the plots and subplots, but at the heart of it are two couples, the warrior Orlando, who's totally smitten with the pagan princess Angelica, and on the other side, the lusty love match between the hunky Saracen Ruggiero and the Christian warrioress Bradamante. The trouble is, someone else also has her eye on Ruggiero, namely the wicked but sexy sorceress Alcina, who magics him to her private island, then charms him so much that he completely forgets about Bradamante. But rescue is at hand in the form of a good sorceress called Melissa, who, spoiler alert, whisks Ruggiero away from Alcina's clutches in the nick of time, which is where we come in now. "Ah, Melissa, Melissa, this is your doing," sings the angry Alcina as she vows to use all her powers to bring him back to her bed. The grief-stricken enchantress Alcina laments the escape of her bewitched lover Ruggiero after he manages to defy her clutches with the help of the good sorceress Melissa. Micaela Arena was in the role of Alcina there, with Paul van Nevel conducting the Huelgas ensemble in that aria from Francesca Caccini's only surviving opera, The Liberation of Ruggiero from the Island of Alcina. So let's fast forward 150 years or so. To find another opera that uses Ruggiero as its main theme. This one's by Johann Adolf Hasse and was specially commissioned by the Empress Maria Theresa as part of the entertainment at her son's wedding in Milan in October 1771. Hasse was, or at least had been, an immensely popular composer who'd spent much of his career travelling around the major opera houses overseeing premieres of his latest works, along with his wife, who starred in most of them. They were the sparkling couple everyone who was anyone wanted at their dinner table. But now, in his 70s, suffering from gout and well past his prime, Hasse was barely able to write any more. And it didn't help that his librettist and longtime collaborator, Metastasio, wasn't too keen on the subject matter and had to be prized out of retirement to write it. All that, combined with a whole load of technical problems with the staging, meant the opera was not the success the Empress had hoped for the wedding party. And to add insult to injury, the next day her guests were treated to a new opera by the 25-year-old Mozart, which I have to say went down far better. My Ruggiero suffered every misfortune that could combine to make a theatre production fail, wrote Hasse dismally. Even his main singers were past their best, including the once fabulous castrato Giovanni Manzuoli in the title role, but now in his 60s. Let's have a listen to countertenor Vala Zabudus making a better fist of it.
Thank you.
The countertenor Vala Zabudus with the aria Di quello ch'io provo from Adolf Hasse's 1771 opera Il Ruggiero, based on one of the later episodes from Ariosto's epic poem Orlando Furioso. So that's part of Ruggiero's story. But what about our other hero, Orlando, and his equally complicated love life? Well, in January 1685, Jean-Baptiste Lully produced a full five-act opera on the subject at the Palace of Versailles. Like Caccini's earlier version, it opens in the land of the fairies. But we soon meet Orlando, or Roland, as he's called here, who, just to recap, is the nephew of Charlemagne and in love with the Princess Angélique. The problem is, she's got her heart set on Médor, a Saracen soldier. Even Roland's gift of a fabulous magic bracelet doesn't change her mind, and when they meet, she turns herself invisible to avoid him, the ungrateful hussy. Angélique and Médor declare their love for each other in some gorgeous arias, but worried that Roland will be very, very furioso indeed when he finds out, they arrange a hasty wedding, followed by a quick escape. Poor Roland is devastated, particularly when he sees that the lovers have carved their names on the wall of a cave and then learns that she's even chucked away the bracelet he gave her. So what would any operatic hero do now? Well, he plunges into madness, of course, and prestissimo.
Je suis trahi, ciel, il aurait pu croire au ciel. Je suis trahi par la grande bonté, pour qui l'amour m'a fait trahir ma gloire. Où tous espoirs nous étaient enchantés, dans quel avis ma fleur m'a précipité. Et moi, d'une odieuse flamme, tout ça avait trop blessé mes yeux. Que tout ressente dans ces lieux l'horreur qui règne dans mon âme. Que tout ressente dans ces lieux l'horreur qui règne dans mon âme.
Heavens, I am betrayed. The closing aria in Act 4 of Lully's 1685 opera, Roland, as the title character descends into madness when he discovers the object of his love, Angélique, has eloped with his rival. The bass singer there was Nicolas Testet, with Christophe Rousset directing Les Talents Lyriques. Just 6 years later, the Italian composer Agostino Steffani was busy putting together his opera, Orlando Generoso, for production in Hanover. Most operas staged at the end of the 17th century were expected to include quite a bit of dancing, little ballets or scenes which helped to move the story on, or simply gave the singers time to change costumes or at least take a breather. The group I Barocchisti put together a little suite of these dances from Steffani's opera for a recording they made in 2013. Two minuets, a prelude, a gavotte, a bourrée and a jig. And they're so full of character. I can really imagine how the dancers might have tripped lightly around the stage with graceful gestures and, of course, in elaborate costumes. The sequence starts here with the opera's overture.
Thank you.
Diego Fazolas directed I Barocchisti in that little suite of dances from Agostino Stefani's 1691 opera Orlando Generoso, which is based on Ariosto's epic poem Orlando Furioso. You're listening to the Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping, and we're hearing how a variety of Baroque composers used parts of that poem as inspiration for their operas. Now, we've all heard of the Four Seasons, of course, but among other works, Vivaldi did actually write some 94 operas, two of which were based on Ariosto's poem. The first, given in 1714, is thought to be a reconstruction of a work by someone else. But 13 years later, Vivaldi came up with another version, premiered in his hometown of Venice, and it was a huge success. The libretto brings together both of the main plot lines we've already encountered, Orlando and his unrequited love for Angelica, and the story of the lovers Ruggiero and Bradamante, all punctuated, of course, by magic spells. This is Vivaldi's languorously erotic aria that Ruggiero sings to Alcina as he becomes mesmerised by her charms and, of course, forgets all about his faithful Bradamante. Only from you, sweet love, can my heart find peace and comfort. Your beautiful eyes are the stars which guide me to love's harbour.
Thank you.
spellbinding performance. You can almost smell the passion. That was Cecilia Bartoli with Sol d'età mio dolce amore. Only from you, sweet love. From Vivaldi's 1727 opera Orlando Furioso. Ensemble Matthias was conducted by Jean-Christophe Spinozzi, and I think a special hooray for that brilliant flautist as well. Well, if Vivaldi composed two operas based on the old Orlando Furioso story, Handel typically trumped him with three. The first, called simply Orlando, was written for the King's Theatre in London in 1733, followed by two more, Alcina and Ariadante, a couple of years later. On the bill for Orlando was one of the biggest stars in Europe at the time, the castrato Senesino, who'd been lured to London by the huge amounts of moolah that Handel's opera company was able to offer. And yet, surprisingly, it wasn't the popular success it should have been. And after just 10 performances, it disappeared into obscurity and wasn't revived again until 1922. It has become a bit more popular in recent years, though. And there are a few really good recordings to choose from. This one features the Polish countertenor Jakub Józef Orliński. And the aria we'll hear is another take on that devastating moment when Orlando discovers that his beloved Angelica has eloped with Medoro. He imagines himself to be dead and entering Hades, where he sees a vision of his hated rival in the arms of Proserpina, queen of the underworld.
Ma sì, 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 mobile, sì, 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 piangete, sì, che sorda il vostro incanto, che sorda il vostro incanto, un cuore d'amanto, e calma il mio fulgor, no, 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 calma il mio fulgor, che sorda il vostro incanto, che sorda il vostro incanto.
Orlando's Descent into Madness from Act Two of Handel's opera of the same name. Jakub Josef Orlinski was the singer with the instrumentalists of Il Pomodoro. So what about the other two operas based on Ariosto's epic poem that Handel wrote just a few years later? Well, they were also premiered in London, Ariadante in January 1735, and Handel being Handel, he wasted no time in getting the second one, Alcina, up and running for the April. But perhaps the opera-weary London audiences simply weren't ready for another show on the same theme so soon after the last one, because in spite of some amazing stage effects, Handel's Alcina just didn't manage to pull in the punters, which is a shame because they missed out on some wonderful arias, especially the one we're going to hear now. It's sung by Ruggiero as he's released from Alcina's spell by the good sorceress Melisso, who gives him a magic ring. As its effect starts to work, he now sees Alcina's island as it really is, not an erotic, tropical holiday destination, but a dry desert peopled with hideous monsters. Appalled, he realises he must escape, although at the same time he admits that Alcina's beauty will haunt him for the rest of his life. The story goes that in rehearsals, Handel's leading man, Giovanni Carestini, made a fuss about this aria being too quiet and melancholy and demanded something faster and louder to show off his voice. But I'm glad that Handel didn't oblige, because this famous aria, Verdi Prati, is surely one of his finest. Green meadows, lush woodlands, soon you will lose all your beauty.
Verdi prati,
Andreas Scholl there, musing on the green meadows of Alcina's island, even though he now realises they were all an illusion. Well, we've almost run out of time, I'm afraid, but I'm going to finish towards the end of the 18th century with Haydn's take on the Ariosto poem. He wrote Orlando Palladino for his employer, Prince Niklaus Esterhazy, for a court performance. This time, along with the loving couples doing their thing, there was some comedy too, and the opera even has a blissfully happy ending with Angelica and Medoro back together and still in love, and Orlando, very decently I think, supporting their union wholeheartedly. It all ends with a final chorus called I Am Confused and Stupefied. I know the feeling.
Final chorus from Haydn's opera Orlando Palladino. Niklaus Ononkor was conducting Concertus Musicus Wien. And that ends this week's edition of The Early Music Show. It was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Salford by Les Pratt. Lucy's back next Sunday to profile the composer Francesco Scarlatti, younger brother of Alessandro and uncle of Domenico. That's at the same time, 2 o'clock next Sunday. More early music in the meanwhile tomorrow afternoon when Tom McKinney presents highlights of a concert by the Estonian choir Vox Clamantis. They'll be singing traditional Baltic pieces alongside medieval music by Hildegard of Bingen. Early music now is tomorrow afternoon on Radio 3 at 4:30.
On BBC Radio 3.
Something must be done with the period which science had named adolescence.
Readings inspired by coming of age.
Whether I shall turn out to be the hero of my own life, these pages must show.
From Dickens to Joyce, J.K. Rowling to Shakespeare.
Did my heart love till now? Forswear it, sight, for I ne'er saw true beauty till this night.
With Josh O'Connor and Lydia Wilson.
It is hard for you, little one, but things never happen the same way twice.
Words and Music this afternoon at 5:30 on Radio 3 and on BBC Sounds.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's a little after 3 o'clock now and time for Choral Evensong. This week, a recording of a service first broadcast live from Worcester Cathedral in 2009. The canticles are sung to the service in B-flat by Charles Villiers Stanford, and the anthem is Singet dem Herren, Sing to the Lord a New Song, a setting by J.S. Bach of words from Psalms 149 and 150. In this Easter season, the service opens with an introit by the 17th century English composer Peter Phillips, Surgens Jesus, He is risen, Jesus our Master.